Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to keep the screen down and put up scriptures tonight. I have a Bible study that I put together today that opened my understanding to some things that I have never looked at before. James 1 and verse number 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So if you don't have wisdom, basically what God's saying is you haven't asked for it. And that wisdom really means common sense from God. Common sense is an oxymoron because it's not common. You know? I mean, there are a lot of senseless people, it seems, today. And then if you turn to Proverbs, and you might as well put your finger in Proverbs, because we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord or reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So God's saying, I want to give you knowledge, I want to give you wisdom, I want to give you understanding. There have been times where, you know, I witnessed to people and even read them scripture that seemed just so plain to me, and they looked at me like I was in a foreign country. But you don't understand the information and the wisdom, the anointing, the understanding that God has given each and every one of us. And then chapter 3 of Proverbs, familiar scripture, verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And here's what I want you to see. In all thy ways acknowledge him. All thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance. See, every time we do something for him, there's always a result. And with the first fruits of thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word this evening, that you touch it and allow us, God, to have understanding and wisdom and faith to respond to it. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that we all have in common is that we all made some dumb mistakes over the years. You know? If there's somebody here who hasn't, I'd like to talk to you after service. I have to confess that the times I've made mistakes over the years is because I have ignored the check in my spirit from God. I wanted something so badly that I didn't want to talk to God about it, or I even ignored what I was feeling on the inside. I didn't see a clear directive in God's word, no, thou shall not. Therefore, if it doesn't say thou shall not, I must have liberty to do it. But you see, the thou shall nots for me might be different than the thou shall nots for you. There are certain things that I know I can't give any kind of attention to because it'll take me down a wrong path, but for you, no big deal, you see. But there was this feeling I had that I could make a wrong decision. I should have been asking, is this wise for me to do? And I, you know, years ago it was, what would Jesus do? Remember that? You know? But maybe we should be asking, God, is this what you want me to do? A Holy Ghost check in your spirit. And really, if we're in good communication with God, he should be able to. You know, we were married only for a few months, and I decided that I wanted to buy a horse. And I didn't tell my wife because I didn't think she'd like it. I wasn't in the church at the time, and so it was like not talking to God, you know. And so I just went and bought the horse, and I stabled it someplace, you know. And I got a good deal on the horse. It was an Appaloosa, and I think I bought it because it was a very good-looking horse. I don't know if you know what an Appaloosa looks like, but it's got a beautiful blanket on the back, you know, different colors and spots and so forth. But the problem was it was a stubborn horse. It was a rebellious horse. It was gelded late in life, and it just didn't respond. And the guy that I had it boarded at saw that I really was frustrated, and he said, why don't you take my horse for a ride? And so I got on his horse, and it was perfectly trained. If I laid the reins on the neck on the right side, it would turn right. If I laid the reins on the neck on the left side, it would turn left. If I let up on the reins, the thing would start galloping this way. If I pulled back, it would stop. If I pulled back a little more, it would actually go backwards. I thought, this is outstanding. This is an automatic horse. But that's what God wants for us. Touch us on this side. Go that way. Touch us on this side. Go this way. Hold it. Go back. Now forward. You know? And I had to sell that horse. It just, there was no pleasure in it at all, you see. Now James 1 and 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Unfortunately, there have been a few times when I just didn't ask God, and I suffered for it. Before pastoring, I started a new insurance agency, the last insurance agency that I had started, and things were going well, and so I decided that I was going to, reward myself. And so what I did was I decided to lease a XJ6 Jaguar. I always wanted it because it looked so good, had great styling. I mean, the leather and the wood in those Brits can really do something with interiors, but they have no idea about electric systems. They have no idea how the engine runs, but I'm telling you, it looks good. So, as I was signing the lease, I remember this so clearly, even though it's been 35 years ago. I was signing the lease, and I felt this check in my spirit, like, I don't know, but I'm so far down the road, I just signed it. I searched all the scriptures, and nowhere in the scripture did it say, thou shalt not buy a Jaguar. But I really never asked God, is this okay? Amen. What will people think, you know? Proverbs 3 and 6 said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's a Holy Ghost buzzer inside of us, folks. You know? And when you first come into the church, that thing works perfectly. You know? Somebody uses the name of God in vain and you just can't stand it, you know? But after a while, some can disconnect the buzzer. Well, God let me have what I wanted. And it was the worst car I've ever owned in my entire life. The steering was just terrible. And the ride, I mean, I didn't have it 6 months and I had to replace the shock absorbers in this car. It was constantly in the repair shop. It was just, you know, do I have it this week or don't I have it this week? And every morning when I got in that car, I was miserable and I repented. I'm sorry, God, that I did this. Now, there are 3,000 Proverbs of Solomon in the whole Old Testament. And the book of Proverbs collects the most important of those Proverbs. There are 513 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. The main subject of Proverbs is wisdom. Real wisdom is at its most basic level, simply obeying God. Learning how to move in the Spirit and stop in the Spirit. Turn to Proverbs 9 and 10. It says, the fear or reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or good sense. That's what it says in the original. And the knowledge of the holy understanding. See, we need to have holy understanding, not worldly understanding, but holy understanding. We're doing it because it makes good sense to God, not good sense to people who are in our family or good sense to people at the work, good sense because some of my friends don't think it's very important. The purpose of it is to understand and receive God's wisdom, God's good sense, so life just goes better. Sunday night I read 1 Corinthians 1 and 19. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. All the intellect in the world, all of the education, all of the experiences, unless you've experienced it in the church and felt the Holy Ghost talking to you, and he will. Now, the book of Proverbs describes four types of people, and that's what I want to spend the rest of the evening on. Four types of people. Number one, the simple or the naive. Number two, the fool. Number three, the scorner or the mocker, the scoffer. And number four, the wise. Four types of people. It's like the four types of soil that we find in the Gospels, you know. Everybody fits in one of those four soils. Everyone fits in one of these four types of people. Proverbs talks about three kinds of people who desperately need wisdom, who desperately need to move from their idea of wisdom to God's wisdom. So let's read in Proverbs 1 and 22. Proverbs 1 and 22 says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So number one, if people are simple, you won't admit it. And by the time you figure out that you are simple, you won't be simple anymore. Complicated. If you're in middle school or you're in high school, you fall into this category of being simple or naive. Now, that is not an insult, because everyone comes into this world simple or naive. We don't know much. We really don't. Thank God for some kids that are just so simple, you know. But eventually, they come out of that simplicity. They will not admit that they're naive. They think that they can figure out life because they have never been the long-term evidence of sin destruction. Hey, I'm not worried about that. I think I can handle it on my own. They've never experienced the problems that come from not looking at the Word of God and applying it to their lives. So they're simple. That's what God says. The simple or naive person repeatedly walks into trouble. You know? Over the years, the many, 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 many times that I've sat in my office with teenagers and asked them, well, why'd you do that? And they go, I don't know. I don't know. It seemed like it was a good idea. They're simple. They're naive. They don't understand. They don't understand the consequences of what they are doing. They're just going to do it and see what happens, you see. So Proverbs 22 and 3. Proverbs 22 and 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. It seems that in the beginning, when we are simple, we repeatedly reject wisdom. But you're old, Dad, you know. Yeah, Pastor, you have to say those things. And so you reject the wisdom that comes from the experience that your parents have, the pastor has, who's walked down this road before you, so you don't have to go through the same bumps, and almost always have to learn the hard way instead of the easy way. Just follow the instructions, you know? We've all done it. We've all gone through that. We've all bumped our heads over and over again thinking, well, we could do it this way even though my parents didn't do it this way, even though somebody else didn't do that the same way. All right. Now, number two, now the fool knows the difference between right and wrong, but they just don't care. They don't. Hey, don't you understand the consequences? Yes. Aren't you concerned? No. Why? Because I just don't care. I'll deal with it when it happens, when there's consequences. Yes, you are probably right, but I'm having too much fun in my sin right now, and I'll deal with it later. Right. You're a fool. That's what the Bible says. You know? A fool considers their sin as no big deal, and they just continue in it, thinking God is a deaf old God who doesn't see everything anyway, and they'll slip by like nobody else. Proverbs 26 and 11, it says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Didn't we talk about this before? Yeah, I know. I keep doing this over and over. Why? I don't know. I don't know. The only way for a fool to change is to face the full consequences of their sin. You know? Your reason, it's not working. So God says, okay, step aside. I'll take care of this one. Here are the consequences, and this is going to change them. No reasoning, no amount of love is going to make a difference. It seems their life has to hit bottom before they can ever get to the place where they have wisdom or common sense of what's doing right. The prodigal son had to get to a place where he was eating with the pigs before he came to himself. Do you think the father pleaded with him? Don't leave. You know what? I'll give you more. You'll have it better here if you just stay. Just be with your brother. Your brother's going to need you. No, I think I'm going to do this. And so he wasted everything that he had, everything. Joined himself to the people in the world. And then when everything ran out, he's eating with the pigs. And finally, the Bible says he came to himself. God's warning is also not to keep company with fools, or what's going to happen is we will end up with the same consequences as the fools. My Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you and I will be your God. But if we keep company with those you know are doing wrong all the time, but I like them, so I'll spend time with them, eventually you become like them, you know? It's like the judge that says to the guy who's standing before him, whose excuse was, well, it was the bad crowd that I was with. And the judge says, you sleep with dogs, you get fleas, you know? Proverbs 13 and 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So, you know, over the years, what I've seen is I know pretty much where you are spiritually by who it's company you keep. It's true. You know, it always amazed me. We could have a visitor come in to a church full of people, and within two services, they find somebody who is backslidden to sit next to. I'm just stating a fact. It's not critical, but I know that that happens. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6. Paul's saying, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of this. Well, that's pretty rude, you know. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about brothers, from every brother that walketh disorderly. Now, if people know what's right, have been doing what's right for a number of years, then all of a sudden they go a little berserk and say, that's not important anymore. I can do this and I can do that. You know, you need to withdraw from them because it's just protecting your salvation, protecting the wisdom that God has given you. All right. Number three. The scorner is just like the fool, except that they have chosen to be critical of those that are doing right. They don't care, but in their defense, they will criticize those. Oh, yeah, you go to church three times. Oh, yeah, you know? They're critical of other people, the scorner. That's what the Bible says. The simple person is clueless. The fool is careless. And the scorner is critical. If you try to discipline a fool, they'll ignore you. But if you try to discipline a scorner, they will hate you. The Bible says it's like grabbing a dog by the ears. You wonder why you're going to get bit. But you're trying to say to somebody who is in rebellion or critical, you know what? You need to watch yourself. Look out. And that's why many times I'm more of a target than anybody in the church, because I have to stand up for righteousness. I have to say certain things from this pulpit and even to people in counseling that they don't necessarily want to hear. But isn't it better that they hear it than they not hear it at all? Proverbs 9 and 8. Proverbs 9 and 8 says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you." Hallelujah. And that's why hard preaching, there's some people who just love it. Because they see it as safety. They see it as the wisdom of God. Give me more wisdom. Come on. Give me more understanding as to why. I remember Sister Schumacher some years ago taught a class on why women do what they do as far as dress and everything else, hair. And so it wasn't, here, do this because that's what's right. But here's the reason why we do these things. And once you understand the very legitimate reason for living a holy life and looking holy, well, then it's so much easier to do it because they got wisdom, they got understanding, you see. It seems that scorners or scoffers drag everyone around down with them, and that's what their goal is. I tell people, if somebody wants to know about some indiscretion within the church, there's always going to be some kind of an indiscretion that happens in the church. We're a body of believers, and there are going to be people who are going to fall. But I say, if you really want to know about all of the dirt, send them to me. I haven't had one person show up yet. But they'll go to everybody else. Did you hear about, oh my Lord? Do you know what? A busybody is in the same category as an adulterer and a drunkard. Hallelujah. Scorners feel like they are the judge of everyone else, and they control with their criticism. I'll criticize you. Proverbs 24:9. This is a message to just shout to, isn't it? Proverbs 24:9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. There are some people that I guess I hate to even admit this, but you want to walk around them because they're going to be negative. They're not going to be positive. And there's some that you want to run to because they always have an encouraging word. You know, it's just a natural thing. Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scorner. What happens? And contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. God help me never to be critical of other people. I'm not here to criticize or judge people. I'm here to somehow reconcile them to the church and reconcile them to God. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's a fourth? Number four, wisdom blesses your life like nothing else can. If you have information, if you have directive from God, if you've got a word from God, you're one happy camper. So many times, what happens is you come in and you're open to receive what God has for you, and the message is right for you. Or there's a message in tongues, an interpretation or prophecy that speaks to exactly your situation. You know? Hallelujah. The song that is sung, although the lyrics are right for you, you know, because you're wanting God's common sense. God, tell me what you want me to do. Proverbs 8 and 11. For wisdom or good sense from God is better than rubies and all of the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now, God knows something that we don't know, or it's a hard lesson for us. We're trying to get more and accumulate more and have more and be more content. But God's saying, if you have my common sense, my wisdom, it's better than rubies. It's better than anything else that you could desire in your life because it brings contentment. You know, we're a half a second away from going to heaven, and why get so frustrated about what's happening here right now or what I'm going to accumulate or what I don't get? The older you get, the more content you are with less. Those of you who didn't get to this golden age that I'm at, you don't understand that yet. But I look around my house, and over the years, I've accumulated a lot of things and from places that we've gone, and here's this and here's that. And right now, you know what? Who cares? Now, 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, those things seemed to be valuable to us, but not right now. Not right now. I just want to be right with God. I want Him to be pleased with me. I want to be in His perfect will. Hallelujah. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all of the things that may be desired are not to be compared to His wisdom. The wise willingly receive God's word, even if they don't understand the principle behind it. Here it is. This is what it says. The word of God says, bring all the tithes to the storehouse. Well, I don't understand that. God, did you see my bills? But nevertheless, what I'm going to do is what your word says, and then the wisdom of doing that opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing that I couldn't get with a fifth job. Lord, I'm going to trust you. See, most of our walk with God is I'm going to trust you. I don't have to make those decisions on my own because, you know, you're going to direct my path, and I want to do what your word says, you know. So turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter, please. Verse number 1. Jesus is saying, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. This parable represents the last days, the days that we are living in right now. Notice the five without enough oil were not the simple. They weren't the naive. It wasn't as if they didn't know anything about God, or even the scorners. They weren't the critical of righteousness, but rather they were the foolish virgins who knew what is right, but they just didn't care. Just didn't care. And that is the spirit of the age that we're living in today. Jesus said he's going to come back, and half of those who have been filled with the Holy Ghost were fools. Why? Because they just didn't care. Oh, yeah, I was raised in this. Oh, yeah, I've been in this for a lot of years, but I just don't care anymore. It's not a priority in my life. And this is the most dangerous spirit of all, apathy, being lukewarm. God warns us not to be naive. Don't be critical as a scorner, but especially don't get the spirit of carelessness as a fool. I don't care. Church, it's not that important anymore. Reading the word, well, the pastor does that at least once a week. And I can't be involved in church because I'm just so busy in my own life. You know what that is? That's foolish. It really is. And I don't want to be in the last days a fool and miss out on the rapture of the church. It's really what it's talking about. God comes back, and there are people who don't care enough about church to be in church. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody want to be wise tonight? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Apathy kills more Christians than the devil could possibly do. We become apathetic towards the things of God because we become so familiar with them, and you know, it's the same thing over and over. But you know what? Tonight there was a little different here. You know? We didn't expect to storm the altar in the special, did we? You never know what's going to happen in the house of God. You don't know what night you're going to come here, and God's going to heal you or deliver you or speak directly to you. Hallelujah. I'm looking for some wise guys, some wise women. Wise men and women still seek him every day. Every day. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? You know, when I was young in the Lord, I just didn't want to miss anything. The choir singing, don't want to miss that. Brother, what's his face is preaching? Don't want to miss that. You all have favorites, you know? But the mindset should be, Jesus is going to be there. I don't want to miss that. You never know what God's going to do, folks. It's an opportunity to fill my lamp again. Because serving God with just 50% oil, you'll fall asleep. Twice dead plucked up by the roots. And God said, I'd rather have you cold or hot, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?